Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Grave, the JV Queen and Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. I'm calling to you this week, live from Bonita Springs, Florida, for the last time until December, as we hit the road tomorrow en route for Atlanta, where I'm stopping off to meet with Brad Fallon of Stompernet before I leave early next week to get up to Philly for JV Alert Live. So each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern, we're here for another episode of Relationship Marketing 101. And I've got with me today my co-host, Rhonda Del Baccio, the Story Lady. And Rhonda's from ProfitableStoryTelling.com. Hello, Miss Rhonda.
Well, hi there.
How are you? I have no trouble
getting on today. I'm doing great.
I did have some issues calling in today, but I think I got it fixed, so.
Yep. I did too, but I'm glad to be here. It's another beautiful day in the Ozarks, and one of the roosters sang just a couple minutes ago, but we weren't quite on the air yet, so the roosters say good morning as well. And by the way, the peace seed is now up on Amazon.com.
Oh, how awesome is that? Good job, Rhonda.
That's just so cool. It's very, very exciting. We're going to have a new book come out and make it up on the web and all of that, so that is just really exciting.
Oh, that's great. And having just got my copy of the PC yesterday, I can't tell you how excited I am for you as you get ready to launch the PC to the whole wide world.
That will be great, and anyone who has read it, which aren't very many yet, but I'd love reviews on Amazon would be cool, so anyone who has read it or already has a copy, that would be very fun. It's wonderful to see it get up there and be able to get things moving, and it's just one more place. Of course, I have it on my own sites as well, but it's very cool to see it up there on Amazon, to see my beautiful book cover, which I entered into a contest. I didn't design it, but it's a great cover.
It is a great cover, and let's just mention a little bit more in detail what the Peace Seed is. The Peace Seed is a part of the Messenger mini book series. The Messenger mini book series was originally created by Robert Evans, and right now, through a joint venture between Robert and the organization that I'm one of the co-founders of, 10 Million Clicks for Peace, we are working with some ambassadors as well as some messengers of peace to help get messengers to be writing books that are going to become part of these Messenger mini book series. And we're not talking about, you know, a regular old paperback kind of book or hardcover book. These are those little mini books that you might see at, say, a grocery store checkout. What's the dimensions on them, Rhonda? 3x something?
It's about 3.5x5. It's a little bigger than an index card, and my interior is 32 pages. Some of them are 28. So the important thing in all of these messenger books is the message that people have. And it's even more important in a little teeny book like that to make sure that your book is written in such a way that it prospers you and gets people back to your website and involved with you.
Absolutely. The whole point of any book, but Messenger mini books even more so, is that they are a way to get your message out while at the same time generating leads for what it is that you have to offer. So it's really a tool that becomes a way offline to be bringing people online where they'll find the other products that you have to offer. That's the whole benefit of a book. And Rhonda, just so I don't have to go look up the link, if people want more information about becoming one of the messengers or being a part of the messenger mini book to get their message out, where would they go to do that?
They go to profitablestorytelling.com/messenger, profitablestorytelling.com/messenger to do that. And one of the things that's very cool about the program is, and about writing a small book like that, is it to the media, it doesn't matter if your book is 32 pages or 100 or 300. The fact that you have a book and that you are an author really does make you stand out as an expert. And for a lot of people who maybe are afraid to write a book, I mean, a 32-page mini book like these, it's just like writing a couple of articles or whatever. It's very short. I can check my word count of my whole document, but it just isn't very much because they're little bite-sized pages. I mean, it's like a little book snack. So.
Yeah, it's more like a chapter that I would write in, as opposed to a whole book.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So that is, you know, that's just one of the things about it. It makes it kind of enticing for people who maybe are afraid or don't think you can write a book. But, yes, you definitely can, especially one that's that short.
And whether you're putting a book out there in a mini book format or in a regular book format or in an e-book format or even an audio book format, any type of book really is something that needs to have some exposure before it can do much good in terms of bringing in quote-unquote leads. And I say it in that way as opposed to buying books, getting people to buy books or getting people to read books, because it really is a lead, even more so than just a subscriber. If you really want
right.
to use your book to make money, it's not going to make you money from making sales of a book happen. If anything, you'll barely break even just from having that book. Usually, it's a negative thing. It's more of a loss leader than something that's a profit center. So it's only when you use your book, regardless of the format, to generate quote-unquote leads that it then becomes a true vehicle for making money. And it can be very, very big money if you've got a successful book or book series, much like Jack Canfield's Chicken Soup for the Soul or so many of the other really successful best-selling books that are out there. But the guys who really do well at taking a book and turning it into dollars are people who really treat the book as a lead generator and then
right.
have systems in place attaching in part to the book, but also in part behind the book, that can help take those leads and turn them into not just buyers, but buyers who are really lifetime customers that will become evangelists for your message, for your brand, for your products, and everything else that you've got to offer. Not because they're using affiliate links to make money off of it, but just because they're out
right.
there talking about their daily life. And in doing so, you're a part of their daily life, so they're talking about you. And I say that because it really applies a lot to what we want to talk about today on this show. So
it definitely does.
One of the best, easiest, fastest ways of getting that book out there, and that's also true of free reports, of ebooks, of any kind of a message, is to really use viral marketing techniques to help spread that message all over the place. So why viral marketing, and what the heck is viral marketing anyway, Rhonda?
Well, I actually kind of prefer to use a different term, but viral marketing is what people recognize. They talk about it, spreading a message like a virus. So this is the good kind. So we're not talking about a flu epidemic or whatever, but we can be talking about an idea epidemic in that way. I like to think of it more like wildflowers. You know, for example, do you know that I have 7 brand new bushes this year in my backyard, which is something I always wanted, more flowers and flowering bushes and things back there. Well, they weren't planted by me. They were brought courtesy of the fact that the birds come and pick up seeds and move things around, and there are other trees in the area. And for all the year, that never happened, but I guess partly because of my intention, the birds kind of helped out and spread that message, and now I have 7 new red bud trees, which put out, actually the buds are fuchsia, but they call them red buds. And so a few weeks ago, I had these beautiful 7 bushes full of glorious fuchsia-colored flowers. Now they're, of course, all green because the flowers and then the leaves. That is the same idea that you have with viral marketing. It's doing things that are going to spread a message for you, and they will be spread just by people passing them along and sharing them in the same way that the birds picked up these seeds and things, pollens off the bushes and so forth, and now all of a sudden I have bushes in my backyard that I didn't have last year. So, you know, that's really the idea.
Online, when you hear most people talking about viral marketing, what they're really talking mm-hmm. about is some funny, stupid little video that has a link at the end of it. Or they're talking about some report that people have gotten giveaway rights to that they can give on to pass on to other people. But you and I don't necessarily just mean those types of things when we're talking about viral marketing. What do we really mean, Rhonda?
Well, we're really just talking about using, in the terms of the Internet, it's using everything imaginable that's available to you on the Internet to get people to share your message. And it's not only putting out a video, although there are lots of those. I mean, there's things like the Bionic Burger video, which is quite brilliant, and lots of videos that get a bunch of views. But it's also things like the fact that you can have it, for example, I'm in competition to be the next top author.
Did we lose you, Rhonda? Uh-oh. Did I get lost or did Rhonda get lost? That's a good question. Let's see if I can figure that one out. Rhonda, are you there? Well, let's see if I can reach Miss Rhonda to let her know that we're not necessarily hearing her at the moment. Rhonda, can you hear me? Well, bear with me, guys, while we get our technical issues solved. I'm sure I can find Miss Rhonda on...
Here I am.
There you are. Well,
I dropped you, and I came back, and I didn't realize that you weren't hearing me there for a few seconds. I thought I was on, but and then it dropped. So,
what we heard was something about, and that's the way things are with the next top spiritual, and that's all I heard. And then we heard a little baby half of a word that I couldn't quite make out. So you might want to repeat the whole thing that you just said.
Let's fix that. So when we talk about viral marketing, what you ask is what we really mean. It's not just videos. It's not, can you do something stupid and put a link at the end that people will share? And, you know, goodness knows there's plenty of that. But we're talking about using all the forces of the Internet to assist you and make it easy for people who like your message to spread it. I mean, you see that on anything that has social sharing, like a blog, for example. And I was saying that on the Next Top Spiritual Author contest, there was nothing put into the pages that allowed people or encouraged people to share the message. And since we were able to put code into our messages, I went ahead and did that myself. I put a button so with a little message that people could tweet. I just voted for this at the Story Lady as Next Top Spiritual Author with a link. And when people did that, it would set that up, and it didn't put them on a list or do anything hokey. It just opened up Twitter with a message in there. So that's just one example, anything that you can do. And whenever I saw those, I, of course, you know, thanked them, and then I also retweeted those messages. So it's anything that will cause that sharing so that your message spreads. And the idea of it is that you aren't the one that has to run around doing this and doing that all the time, that you set some things in place and others start carrying that message for you, much in the way that a virus, you know, you may be a carrier, but it doesn't mean you personally would run around and give the flu to a million people. It could mean that they got it because one contacted another and it spreads that way.
Yes. And so one of the things that you hear me talk about in many different places, I talk about this in teleconferences and products, when you talk to me in person, on the telephone, whatever, I like to tell the story of Joe because it really illustrates what I consider word of mouth marketing. And like Rhonda, I don't necessarily like the term viral marketing. I think it has implications that don't necessarily apply to the way it really works. But word of mouth marketing, on the other hand, really illustrates the point. You want to intentionally be putting mechanisms into everything you're doing that can cause people in a very natural way to be talking about you. And you don't necessarily need to have ways of paying affiliate commissions to get people to talk about you. While you can do that, the real value in word of mouth marketing is not about paying somebody an affiliate commission. Word of mouth marketing happens in very natural ways as people go about talking about their daily lives. If you and your business and your brand can become a part of their daily life, when they're out telling people about themselves and what their day was like and what they're working on and what they're doing, if you're already a part of their life, they're going to be talking about you. And the point of word of mouth marketing is that everything that you're doing with your prospects and your customers should cause people to want to be telling other people about the way that you are affecting their life. And I don't care if you're in the golf niche. I don't care if you're in a marketing niche. I don't care if you're in the crocheting niche. If you really look at what you're doing and how you're doing it, you can easily find plenty of different ways of getting people to really feel like you're a part of their lives so that when they're talking about themselves, they can go on and talk about you and your brand too. Rhonda, would you mind if I told the short version of the story of Joe to illustrate this point?
I would think that would be a very wise thing to do, to tell that story.
So Joe's this guy, just like most of the guys out there, who's going through life. He has a job and he has a wife. Well, Joe's going through life and he all of a sudden is starting to have this problem. And each day passes by, he gets a little bit more of a feeling of, oh, I got to fix it. Oh, what's wrong? How can I get over that? And as time goes by, it starts eating away at him a little bit more each day. Finally, one morning, he shows up at the breakfast table, and his head's hung low, and he's kind of looking really not so hot. His wife says, Joe, what's wrong? And he goes, oh, honey, this problem is just driving me batty. I don't know what to do to fix it, and I can't eat, and I can't sleep, and I'm just feeling miserable. Well, as any good wife would do, she reassures him, oh, Joe, honey, don't worry. You'll figure it out. It'll be okay. So Joe goes to work that day and didn't really help very much that his wife said that, but he's going, okay, I'll try and be okay with it. Pretty soon everybody at work's asking him, Joe, what's going on? You look like crap, man. And every time somebody says that, Joe relates, oh, well, I got this problem that's driving me nuts. I don't know how to fix it. And they all reassure him again, oh, Joe, don't worry. It'll be okay. I'm sure you'll figure it out. Well, Friday comes around. Lo and behold, Joe's boss calls him into his office. Now, Joe's boss has a slightly different message for him. His message is, Joe, I don't care what's going on with you. I could give a crap about it, but it's affecting your work. And I'm going to tell you right now, you've got till Monday morning to find a way to solve it, or you're out of here. Well, Joe's going to feel so wonderful hearing that, isn't he, Rhonda?
Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, you're so bad you're about to lose your job, Joe. That's not a very good feeling to have, right? Nobody wants to lose a job.
So no amount of reassurance is going to make it better for Joe. By the time he goes home from work that day, he is just a wreck. He's got 48 hours to figure this out, and it's been weeks that it's been on his mind, and he hasn't found a solution. So all weekend long, he's trying to figure out, what am I going to do? How am I going to get rid of this? Sunday night, 3 a.m., hours away from being back in the office, he hasn't found a solution yet. Well, needless to say, he's not in bed sleeping. So he goes to the computer, he turns it on, he goes to Google, and he types in, how do you get rid of blah, blah, blah? Blah, blah, blah being the problem that he has. He looks at the search results. one of the first things he sees is this article called How Do You Get Rid of Blah, Blah, Blah? And Joe's going, hey, I don't know, but hopefully you're going to tell me. So he can't click on that link fast enough. He goes over to this blog, and he starts reading this article. And the article starts out by telling the story that Joe swears someone has been watching over his shoulder to tell, because it sounds exactly like his life. And as it tells the story, it then says, so how do you get rid of blah, blah, blah? And so it's like, I don't know, but I hope you're going to tell me. And it then tells him exactly what to do. Yes. It then goes on to say step one, step two, step three, step four, step five. Tells him, you just follow these five simple steps. You'll solve your product, your problem in a matter of a few weeks to a few months. And Joe's going, oh, no, I've got a few hours. So the blog post continues. And it says, now, if you want to solve your problem in less than a few weeks to a few months, if you got to solve your problem in the next day, click here to download this course right now. How fast are they going to click on that link and download that course? Pretty darn fast, right?
Right.
So he orders the course. He starts going through it right away. In fact, he doesn't even go to bed the rest of the night. He cannot get enough of this information because he's got to fix it in a few hours. And by the time he gets through all of the materials, he knows exactly what to do. He knows exactly how to solve it, and he's halfway there already. He feels so much better that by the time he goes down to breakfast, even though he hasn't had a wink of sleep, he's whistling and he's humming and, oh, he's just having a marvelous day. Well, his wife's going to notice instantly, isn't she? Joe, what
is? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Hi. What's up?
How did this happen?
What happened?
Yeah. And she's going to ask him, Joe, last Monday you looked like crap when you came down to breakfast. What's going on? Well, this is where word-of-mouth marketing happens. Joe's going to relate the story to his wife. Oh, honey, I couldn't sleep. It was so awful. I went to Google and I typed in, how do you get rid of blah, blah, blah? And there it was. Five simple steps to getting rid of it. But it was going to take me a few weeks to a few months until I saw at the end that it told me about this great course that could get rid of it in a matter of a day or two. Honey, I went through the whole thing last night. I didn't even sleep, but man, I know exactly what I need to do. Well, if his wife is the kind of wife that really cares about her husband, she's probably going to say something like, oh, Joe, that is fantastic. Where'd you find that? I want to go check it out, too. Whether it's to support Joe or because she doesn't want to get blah, blah, blah herself and she wants to make sure she prevents it, whatever the case is, if Joe can remember the URL, he's going to relate it to her right then and there and tell her exactly where to go to prevent herself from getting blah, blah, blah. So now you didn't just get Joe into your world. You now have Joe and his wife into your world. But it gets bigger. Now Joe goes to work.
Right.
Everybody's going to notice the change in Joe. It's apparently everywhere. His singing, his humming, his whistling, his face. He's almost glowing. He's so excited. And every person that he meets is going to ask him what happened from last week. And every one of those people are going to hear Joe retell the tale of how he went to Google and how he got to this blog and then it led him to this course and he knows exactly what to do to get rid of blah, blah, blah. And almost every one of these people are likely to say, well, Joe, where the heck did you find that? I want to go check it out so I don't get blah, 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 too. And even his boss is going to realize the change in Joe and ask the same question. That's word-of-mouth marketing at its best. It comes from helping your prospects solve their problems. Now, if we pick apart the details, Joe wouldn't have necessarily bought something if he just went to the search engines and got to a sales page that says, get rid of blah, 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 right now, only $97. It wasn't really what Joe's, he'd seen all that stuff before. Nothing had really helped. What made him buy, and made him buy quickly, was the fact that that blog post walked him through all five steps to solving it, told him exactly what to do to get rid of the problem, and then said, if you want a faster result, click here down now to download this course. He felt well served. The story in the post showed him that this person, this author, knew exactly who he was and what was really his biggest issue. And it was because of that he wanted to buy that course even more. And that's what differentiated this single instance from the things that Joe had already been looking at. All the other things didn't really make him any happier, didn't really cause him to go and tell his friends and his wife and his boss and everybody else he knows about it. It was when this person really wrote about Joe and gave him for free the solution, but then sold him a way to get bigger, better, or faster results, that we've now turned Joe from just an ordinary prospect into a true evangelist for this blog and its message. And that's what you need to be doing if you really want to harness the power behind viral marketing.
Right. Definitely. And it really does spread, you know, not only are Joe's colleagues, but then his wife is saying, my God, Joe had this problem. It was so awful. He was about to lose his job, and then he found blah, 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 and he was able to take care of it right away. And any people they know, if they don't have it or they don't want to stop it, they may, well, my sister has that problem, or my so-and-so has that problem. And it keeps spreading around. And now the other thing that happens that helps things to go, as they say, viral, is that there are now, you can get reviews on things and people will thumbs up or down stuff it all over the place. I mean, you know, whether it's YouTube or StumbleUpon or reviews on Amazon or whatever. And you know, anytime I'm looking for something, I'll see what the reviews are and check it out, you know, because you want to know, is it going to serve my needs and fit my issue or not? And all of these things that are available involving this Web 2.0 technology and all the sharing really do make it possible to spread your message even more quickly. And by the way, as an aside, since I have the PC up now, it's in our show notes now.
Oh, nice. I'm so glad you did that. Good job.
Yeah, I'm glad it was up in time. I just put it in a couple minutes ago. So, but yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is it just keeps spreading. It's that word of mouth. It's the sharing. I like to think of it really as, you know, the sharing effect rather than a viral effect. I just, viruses are not cool sounding to me. So,
I definitely agree. And it's more than just going out and accidentally causing people to spread your message. It's doing that strategically. It's doing that on purpose. So in setting up anything that you're doing, whether that's a paid product, a free report, a blog, a social networking profile on Facebook or Ning, whatever you're doing, you want to be thinking always in terms of a couple of different pieces. Number one, how can you really serve your prospect? How can you do something that will cause such a profound effect in your prospect's life that it will cause them to make you a part of the conversations that they have? And this is true regardless of what niche you're in. You might be in the most boring, ho-hum, technical niche, and on purpose, you want to be causing the people that are interacting with you to be talking about you and your brand. I don't care what kind of a niche that is. So it comes from really serving them in a way that makes them feel like you just gave them so much value for free that they start subconsciously thinking to themselves, well, holy cow, if I just got all this great stuff for free, I wonder how much more I'm going to get when I spend some money. Because as they're thinking about that and as they're out talking about you as a way of being a part of their normal lives, they're really going to want to buy even more from you if they can really feel that. So it starts with serving, helping people to solve their problems in a way that can get them seeing your stuff as the solution that can get them bigger, better, or faster results. It then comes in part also from using systems that cause everything you've got to offer to be set up in a way that is most likely to be shared. So things like those share buttons on your blog post is a great example. But in addition to that, could you do some other things that could help them to spread that message for you? Could you create a Facebook application or an iPhone application that allows them to send some symbol, symbolic thing to their friends. One of my newer students is a woman that has a blog called thenittingyarn.com. And the Knitting Yarn is a blog all about knitting. Well, could she have a way inside of Facebook for people to send a knitted piece, send a pair of knitted socks to your friends in a variety of different patterns and colors and whatnot? And as they send knitted socks to their friend, they're really sharing a gift that's from the heart, but kind of funny at the same time. So I'd make some really funny designs of socks. And as they'd send those things to their friends, it would post to the wall and Facebook on their friend's profile. And now anyone seeing their friend's profile is going to see this pair of socks that they just got as a gift. And it will make people think of Aunt Sally or Auntie Rose or whatever, who used to send Argyle socks at Christmas or socks with the toe thingies in them or whatever. And it will become kind of funny at the same time. But just below that, there's now a link that says, if you want to knit a pair of socks for your friend, click here to get instructions now. And it's going to definitely bring in some traffic. I am positive it will bring in traffic. And if that blog has both a way to learn how to knit, as well as a way to sell some knitted socks, as well as other knitted products, the people that come are likely to want to do that. And now you don't need to do a lot to get your message out. All you've got to do is start that chain of events happening. Get a few of your friends to start giving socks away on Facebook to their friends, and let that start this spreading of the message easily. Doesn't need to be a big gimmicky thing that's, you know, some really stupid way of creating a video that just makes you look like a ham, but it can be something that incorporates a little bit of humor and a little bit of serving and a little bit of getting a message out there all at the same time.
That's so very true. And
Go ahead,
I'm sorry.
You also mentioned the share and the like button. You know, last week, Facebook came out with a brilliant add-on, and I think I saw something of yours have this already. Tell me if I'm right. There was an article in Mashable last Wednesday or Thursday that talked about this new tool that Facebook put out there for website owners that allows you to put Facebook like and not like, thumbs up and thumbs down things on your website content, and people can then come to your site while they're logged into their Facebook account and thumbs up or thumbs down your content in a way that not only gets it thumbs up or thumbs down on your website, but also causes that to have a post put into their own wall that shows that so-and-so just posted a like it or not like it with a link to where they did that, so that people reading their profile are then going to come over and see what it is that they liked or didn't like. Was that you that I saw that was doing that last week, Rhonda?
I haven't yet. I've heard about that, and I do want to experiment with that because I think that's cool. Well, you're already in Facebook, and I hope they'll hook it up through the network's blogs thing as well. That would be fun, but that is just going to make it easier. And it's funny, with this, the stuff that Facebook is doing, it's hilarious because there are some people that are like, oh, Facebook is trying to like take over the Internet. And some people love it, and some people are scared to death of it. But it's all these ways to combine that they're trying to make sure that Facebook is kind of your one stop for everything. It's been
interesting. It has. In the first 24 hours that this tool came out, it was set up on more than 50,000 websites in about 22 hours. And in the last 3 or 4 weeks, Facebook has all of a sudden, for the first time in history, started surpassing Google in terms of the amount of traffic it's getting each day. No one ever thought that there would be someone that could actually get more traffic than Google, and now here comes Facebook doing it. And I think Twitter's not far behind. Twitter's probably going to get started in surpassing Google in terms of its traffic very, very soon. And the thought of that, Google's this company that stock is how much per share? is worth so much money. And now here we've got these social sites that are doing the same thing. Do you know how valuable that could be?
Mm-hmm. Hugely valuable. Hugely,
mm-hmm.
hugely valuable. Yep.
And it just started with the idea. And as long as that idea was being spread through word of mouth, it started picking up speed and started picking up a little more speed and a little bit more speed. A number of years ago, a site called Second Life became popular online. And when they first got started, they really struggled to get much word of mouth happening. The first year or so, I don't think they had more than a couple hundred thousand people as part of Second Life. And Second Life, if you don't know what it is a virtual reality world that exists on the internet. When you go into Second Life, you are in another world. You operate not as you as a person, but as an avatar. And your avatar is something that you design. You can choose what it looks like. Does it have a big beer belly? Does it have really swivelly hips? Does it have long hair, short hair, an Asian look, an African look? What do you want that avatar to look like? And
mm-hmm.
what does that avatar do? What does that avatar wear? Everything that's a part of your real life is also a part of Second Life. Well, your avatar needs a house just like you need a house. So where are you going to live? A house, an apartment, a condo, the street corner, the park bench, whatever. So inside of Second Life, you're having another alternate reality experience. And in the first year, like I said, they didn't do very well. But as that started spreading by people talking about how cool it was to have their avatar in this alternate reality world and all the cool things that they were doing as their avatar, word of mouth started happening. And pretty soon, by the second birthday, they had over a million members using Second Life. Well, in the second year's, in the next year's growth, they didn't just gain another 500,000 users. In the next year, after they hit that million, there were so many people talking about it that the next year they grew by 5 million more to a total of over 6 million people. And it has just snowballed since then. And the same is true with sites like Facebook and Twitter and all of the other social sites out there. It
mm-hmm.
takes a little bit of effort to get it to reach the point of what I call critical mass, that point at which that snowball is just getting built and it starts rolling over the top of the or crest of the hill so that it can be on the backside going downhill. But as it starts going downhill, it's going to pick up steam, it's going to get bigger, and by the time it hits the bottom of that mountain, that thing is going to be huge. Same thing happens with word of mouth. Get it over that little peak, and you're all smooth sailing from there. It's going to grow fast, it's going to grow huge, and by the time you reach the bottom of the hill, it's going to really be gigantic.
Yep, that is. That's very, very true. Absolutely. And I found a link to get the WordPress plugin with the Facebook Like button.
And send me that.
The chat. Yeah, and hang on, I'm going to throw it into the chat first of all, and I will send it over to you. This is,
I got a better idea. Why don't you get a redirect link that we can just give out here on the air?
Sure. It'll be a second, but it will be asktsl.com/FB button.
Okay. Actually, I know they're coming out with a couple more buttons. Make it FB like. So www.askasktlady, asktsl.com/FB like.
Yep.
And you can use that plugin to add that little button to your blog instantly.
Yep. You absolutely can. So, and that is how you're adding to your WordPress blog. And so if you have something else, you can go to Facebook or whatever and find it, but that's how you're going to add it to your blog. So I am really excited to put that in to my blog and make sure that people can give me the thumbs up or whatever they want on the content. That's going to be a lot of fun. And that's even, you know what, even you can now put thumbs up or down on people's comments. Like I was noticing that on YouTube. Somebody made a snide comment, so I gave him a thumbs down because I thought that was rude.
Oh, that's funny. Well, I am definitely going to go start using that myself.
Yep.
So
yeah,
how do
absolutely.
We get our projects to reach this point of critical mass so that word-of-mouth marketing can really benefit us in a big way, Rhonda?
That is something that can be planned, and I've been looking at Peggy McCall has a new book that's called Viral Explosions, and you know, she talks about tying into your passions, and she talks about really planning things, which I know you would appreciate, and having all the pieces in place before you start, which I also know that we both appreciate because we like to make sure everything is strategic and you don't just go put something out there without having all of the infrastructure to back it up, including a list, including a website, those kinds of things. So, you know, that's going to be part of it is, first of all, to get set up. Yeah.
One of the comments that you just made that I think is really important is considering your passion and how it can play into word-of-mouth marketing. If you're really following your passion in building this business, so that it's your passion fueling the message that goes into your blog post, and it's your passion that fuels you in reaching out and building relationships with other people about this business, and it's your passion that's fueling the products that you're offering and whatnot, your passion usually is something that has you so excited that it really does become contagious. And it's what can cause people to really catch on to what you're doing in big ways quickly because your enthusiasm comes through. Instead of going out and building a business in a market that you know absolutely nothing about just because you heard there was some money in it, if you're a guy who's single, who's never been married, and you're going, you know, I hear the wedding niche is a really good niche. I think I'm going to go set up a site to cater to brides who want to, how about overweight brides who want to look great on their wedding day? How much are you going to know about doing that if you're a single guy, never been married, and only been to a few friends' weddings, especially if all of your friends were marrying supermodels who never had an issue with obesity to start with? You're not going to be very passionate or very good at doing that, right, Rhonda?
No, absolutely not. And I have seen people try and do things like that, and they'll even make up an identity, and in other words, alter ego, and they'll do this, and it just does not ring true at all because maybe they're trying to, maybe it's the single guy, and he's trying to say his name's Ella, and he's this, you know, wannabe, the bride-to-be, and, you know, she's too fat and wants to lose weight, whatever. It's not going to ring true unless he has some direct experience and some direct passion because it just takes too much work, whereas passion will get you to do things and get you excited about them. I wrote a blog post a few days ago on ProfitableStorytelling.com about peaceful business language because I saw somebody sent me, it was actually inspired by a direct message on Twitter, and so it was something like, do you want to annihilate your competition? And I wrote back, I said, no, I'd like to make friends with them. I don't see competition. And then I wrote this whole blog post, and then actually, in this case, the story was kind of all the way through a lot of it, but some of the things were down further about ways that I've turned what some would see as competition into an ally and even joint venture partners, and I know you've done that too. That came because I have a passion for peace, for peaceful language, and for showing you that when you come from an abundance and a positive place, you can succeed really well. You don't have to stomp out your competition, annihilate them, obliterate them, blow them up, or any other violent language of war that you might want to say. And in fact, I even call bullet points relevance points. I don't see why they need to be bullets. They're just relevance points. So, you know, all these little things, and the reason that this relates to passion is because if this wasn't a passion of mine, I wouldn't have bothered to write the post, and I've gotten comments back from people on Facebook and Twitter and, you know, things that And not on the blog so much, but in other places where people are agreeing with me, or they never thought of it that way, or whatever, you know. And it all came because of this one person's tweet when he asked me direct message if I wanted to annihilate my competition. And that kind of just makes me sick, and I have a passion for it. So while it ties into my commitment to peace, and it also ties into a way for me to share peaceful business alternatives in a way that will prosper you and that can show you how you can do business in a peaceful way and not have to buy into the language of war and domination that abounds in the marketing world.
Absolutely. And, you know, as the JV queen, I guess I have some unique ideas about competition, but I have a JV partner who's routinely concerned and overly concerned about the competition beating us to the punch. And we're getting a new business ready that is going to take us into a market that we haven't been in before, at least not in a very big way. And we're really going to be going out there to help people who are already out there as consultants to local businesses, help them to do a better job of making money in their business, working with local businesses, helping them bring their business to the internet. And this is a very, very, very fast-growing niche. We started out a year or so ago with David Preston being in the space. There were a couple of other people that were out there, but not very many of them. We have the guy that came up with the Hidden Marketing Assets consulting program. But they're really, you know, quietly doing things behind the scenes, not really out there in a very big, splashy way. And in the last 9 months, it seems like the entire internet has caught on to the idea of helping local businesses bring their business to the power to the internet and using the power of the internet to grow offline businesses. And now we've got Howie Schwartz in the space and Kevin Wilkie in the space and Howard Tiano in the space and now Stompernet is in the space. And, man, my Koenig's just come out with stuff for this space. It seems like it's really growing quickly. And my partner is, like, so upset about all this competition. And he's going, oh, you know, we're screwed. I know we're screwed because everybody else is there and our stuff isn't ready yet. Now, I see competition in such a totally different way. Seeing all this competition is telling me, oh, my goodness, I have a gold mine on my hands with this new business idea because there are so many people competing. I would prefer not to have to go out and do head-to-head competition with any one of these people at all. If I try to do that, it's going to become a war between us. And pretty soon, we're each going to be cutting the other's price, and we're going to keep going back and forth. My stuff's better than your stuff. No, my stuff's cheaper than your stuff. And nobody's going to get served well from doing that. In fact, in the end, we're going to be cutting our prices by so much that we can't even produce very good quality anymore because our prices are too cheap, and it's going to cost us to get people to buy our stuff. Instead of us making money, we'll lose money from every sale. That's not a good way of doing it. As a JV queen, I'm always thinking in terms of alliances. How can I create alliances with these competitors so that we're not competing at all, but instead we're taking that one humongous pie and sharing it between the two of us? There are ways to create alliances with all of your competitors. And if you can do that, now instead of each one of you carving out a specific little section of a market unto yourselves, by banding together, you've got so much power now that you can reach the entire market and share it between you. That is the way to really look at things, and that's what I'd call having an abundant mindset. It's not about the competitors and the scarcity mindset of, oh, I got to grab my chair before it goes away. Your share's never going to go away. You can both capture the same share in different ways.
Exactly.
That's the way I would do it. Yeah.
That's what I was talking about in the article. You would love that article, I'm sure, because that's exactly what I was talking about in there, were several alliances that were forged from what other people would have called competitors. I really don't see competition, especially when you know you're doing something that's different and you're approaching it in a different way. You're serving people. Why not combine your forces and do those things together? It's much more fun, and it can give everybody more. And, for example, one of the things I found out from just talking to a quote-unquote competitor, at least people who are in the same audience and doing some extremely similar things, is he's like, yeah, I'm not really that into working with some of the authors anymore. So, you know, that's going to turn into more than one joint venture, I'm sure. So it's just very interesting how those things can work out when you just go in and have open conversations and, yeah, look, how can I serve you and your audience? How can we work together? It's amazingly profitable, and it's so abundant that way.
Most of the people that are in this space are teaching people how to become marketing consultants, or they have systems that they can use to go out and attract more local businesses as a marketing consultant. And what we're trying to do is so different. Instead of going out and creating another educational program, there are great educational programs out there already. Why reinvent the wheel? So I'm going to these people and saying, you know, you've got a program that teaches this, and you've got a program that teaches this, and while they're both targeting the same person, they really do complement one another. I not only have a third educational program that teaches something completely different still, but I also have a service that your trainees can use to really be able to offer a much broader array of services and products and at the same time make money from it. And I set it up in a way that you, the educator, can make money from it too. Well, that's a pretty unique thing. And most of the people in this space are out there telling their coaching students, hey, all you've got to do is go to Elance or Guru.com or something like that and outsource all of this work, and you can easily mark the price up and make some money from it when you sell the service to your local business client. Well, I'm giving them a way to not have to go through all of the hassle of dealing with all of these different outsourcers, but instead work through us to have their own private labeled outsourcing service so that it's not about my brand, it's still about their brand.
Right.
And I'm giving them a way to buy these outsourced services at wholesale, allowing us to do the training of the outsourced people for them, allowing us to manage the projects for them, and all they've got to do is get the clients and funnel those clients in through the site that we've created through a self-replicating system that we've built, much the same way a network marketing company would give you a self-replicated website to sell your products from. We're doing the same thing with the service. You'll integrate this into your own existing website so that from your website you'll be able to offer your own outsourcing services to local businesses, and we'll be handling all of the fulfillment for you on the back end. We've even gone so far as to have a new script created so that the consultant can get paid instantly, we can get paid instantly, and even the coach who sent their prospect to us can take a chunk paid instantly. Now, very, very different. Now, why do I need to worry about competition? Nobody has all that stuff. They have other things that they're trying to sell to the same audience. So why not work together?
Yeah, exactly, because it's actually going to be a better benefit to their students, which means they're likely to have more students because that word of mouth that we've been talking about, this is how it all comes back to the word of mouth, that people are going to say, oh my gosh, I took so-and-so program, and now I'm able to get you know, my own work outsourced and have this extra service that I get paid for and, you know, whatever. And it's just a big, gigantic win for everybody that's involved.
And that's the key. If it didn't serve the customer well to start with, it wouldn't make for a very good alliance between me and my competitor. But because it really serves the customer so well, that's the thing that causes both the word of mouth to happen and even the thing that causes the alliances to happen between competitors.
Right. Exactly. It has to be, it always has to be about serving people. I mean, we're always going to say that as part of Relationship Marketing 101, and it's true. And it, what's just really a beautiful thing is when you get these alliances going, everybody's better served, yourself, all the partners, and, of course, has to be the customers as well. And then everybody is making more money, and everybody's getting their problems solved, and everybody's talking how great it is that now that they have your program, your service, whatever, and it just keeps snowballing from there. And that's really what's going to cause that critical mass that you mentioned where people start talking about it, where you don't only have an educational program, now you have a way to provide your own services without having to go through a lot of hassles and worry about things. You've got other people doing the training, and you can just be free to go and do what it is that you want to do.
Well, and, you know, even you and I, we technically are competitors. You and I both serve the same audience, and we both help serve the same audience with similar objectives. You're all about showing authors how to use their books to make money by telling stories. I'm all about helping authors as well as others to set up strategic plans to help them make more money in their business. So why are we doing a radio show together?
Neither of us sees competition, and we see that there are so many ways that we can combine our forces to more profitably and abundantly serve our audience. And it's very cool because now I don't have to make a course that teaches internet skills because you have that. So why on earth would I want to do that? I can focus really on the things for authors that are much more within my passion to do. And I can be doing more writing and sharing in that way and leave some of the other training to your system.
And likewise, I don't need to go out and create products about how to use your blog posts, your products, and the other pieces that are part of my system in a way that includes stories so that it can grow the relationship. I'm not an expert at that. Leave that part up to you. And in fact, it ends up setting me up in a way that will help me make more money in the long run, and it helps you make more money in the long run. Because we're both focusing on the thing that we are most passionate about, that is most within our area of strength, and the key to really making it work is the fact that our customers, our clients, our students, whatever you want to call them, are the people who end up benefiting the most by having us working together.
Right.
So,
and that's one thing that makes us work so well.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. This is really something that you want to look at no matter what business model you use and no matter what niche you happen to be in. Looking at your competitors from an abundant mentality instead of a scarcity mentality will open your eyes and your doors to so much bigger profits and so many more unique ways of really getting leverage to grow your business. And to me, that's really what word-of-mouth marketing is all about. It's about the leverage part of it. What do we mean when we talk about leverage?
Well, we talk about how you can do less work, you know, work smarter and not harder, do less work and get better results because there are other people and or other systems in place that are helping to accomplish some of the heavy lifting in the same way that a lever would allow you to do more heavy lifting without expending as much of your own physical effort.
Precisely. Mark Joyner coined a term a number of years ago that is integration marketing. And first coined this term way back when he still had traffic exchanges and banner exchanges like Startblaze, which was one of the very first exchange-based programs on the Internet. And when he started coining the term was when he was starting to use this and didn't have a word that he could use to describe it. And he called it integration marketing. And integration marketing in my world is really something that helps to cause that word of mouth to happen in bigger ways, if you use it right, anyway. That's what can come from it. Integration marketing refers to having a way of taking unused assets and unused real estate and using those unused pieces to sell stuff, not of your own, but that other people might have to offer. So I might take one of my thank you pages and say, hey, you just got this great course about blogging. If you want to learn how to use stories through your blog to build relationships that are likely to turn into much higher conversions and much bigger sales, you want to download this course on storytelling for bloggers over at Rhonda's site. Here's the link. Now, I might use my affiliate link for that so that I can make a little bit of money from it. But you're going to make some money from it, too. And the word of mouth
marketing is all of it.
Good.
Right. Yeah, and the thing is that this is what affiliates are so great. And I laugh when people go, well, I don't want to have to give up any of my profits. I'm like, well, okay, then pay someone to market for you. I mean, that just makes me crazy, you know. So you don't want to give up any of your profits. Well, how are you going to get some more sales and reach more people if you don't have some mechanism in place? So you can pay for marketing, or you can let affiliates do that for you and leverage their efforts.
Yeah.
And make
things, you know, this is where systems are really so important. And when we started the show today, we started with saying that it's not your book that's going to make you the money. It's everything behind the book that makes you money. Integration marketing at its best, it's not going to integrate your couple $1,000 coaching program into unused real estate. It wouldn't convert well if you did. You probably wouldn't make any sales from having me promoting a high-end program on storytelling from the thank you page of my $47 blogging course. I'm not going to do very well. But if I instead use this as a way of promoting something free of yours or something that costs $47 or less so that it's not more expensive than my product, so that people can get their feet wet and really see that I am someone that they can know, like, and trust, not just through my own products, but even in the people that I refer them to, now I've got a way to generate leads for you while at the same time serving my customers so that they want to come back not just to buy my own stuff, but to buy all of the other people's stuff that I happen to recommend. And I actually had this issue come up a week or so ago where I had referred someone to another person, again, a joint venture partner. It was through something integration marketing-like, and they had an issue come up and didn't do anything to notify me that this issue came up, simply got a little bit perturbed, and ended up not just refunding the purchase that they made based on my referral, but also unsubscribing from my list because they were thinking to themselves, oh, well, that Gina, she sent me over there, and that guy was a jerk and an ass, and his stuff doesn't work, and I don't want to have anything to do with her anymore. Now, had he told me that this issue was occurring, I would have picked up the phone and called this person on his cell phone if I had to, gotten him into a three-way, and it would have been resolved in under 5 minutes. But because this was a new customer who did not yet know, like, and trust me, he was coming into my world with a scarcity mentality that comes from having dealt with all the scumbags out on the Internet who are there just to make a buck, who aren't there to serve anybody, who wouldn't even let you put a question like that into a support desk ticket, much less actually take your phone call if you had called to describe the issue. So
Right. Understand
that that's where your prospects are coming from. And know that in setting up things that will cause word-of-mouth marketing to happen in your business, you've got to be setting them up in a way that helps cause your audience to have a shift from that scarcity mentality to an abundant mentality so that they really do start knowing, liking, and trusting both you and your products and the products that you happen to recommend. And this means that you can't necessarily get away with things that you see some of the big, quote-unquote, gurus out there doing, where they're sending message after message after message that they probably didn't even read, much less write, that promotes so many different products. Just anything that happens to launch today is what they're going to promote today. You can't do that, get away with it, and cause people to want to spread your name and your brand to everybody that they know through word-of-mouth marketing, because they're not going to feel like you've done much to serve them in the first place in running your business like that. On the other hand, if you chose carefully which of the products you're going to choose to put out there, and you're going to make the decision based on what's really right for your prospect, not only will you promote a few less things, not only will you probably have a very different tone and message in your email, instead of just taking a canned email someone gave you, you're going to take the time to rewrite it a little bit so that it really works for your subscribers and your prospects and your customers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're
mm-hmm.
really going to feel served just because you didn't sell them something else. If you could help it.
Yeah, I have a funny story about that, Gina. Well, actually, there's two things I wanted to mention. One is I wrote a blog post on ProfitableStorytelling.com a while back, and it was about this friend of mine that has a product that would be relevant for my authors, and I did get a review copy of it because I don't like to sell something I can't see first. Experience. And once I did, the product was so awful that I couldn't in any good conscience at all recommend it because there was no step-by-step, there was no help or instruction, there was a lot more sizzle than steak, you know, and I was sort of torn with, okay, I want to support this friend and being able to do stuff, but on the other hand, I cannot afford to bring something to my people that isn't well supported because then I would feel like I had to help them make it a success.
Yeah.
And if they were having trouble because his product was so inferior and just didn't cut it. And I know of other people who do similar things better. And a lot of some of his stuff was wrong. A lot of it's outdated, you know. And so I just really can't possibly promote it. And that was something I wrote about in the blog post. And, you know, kind of coming to telling it as that story of, you know, kind of being torn with, yes, I want my friend to prosper, of course, but then I cannot be the one to promote that. The funny thing that happened was that the other day someone asked me to send out a promotion, and, you know, when people do this kind of, they don't really tell you exactly what's happening yet kind of thing, and I know and like and trust this individual, but I just wanted to know what it was more, and when I went to the video on the email that I could have sent out to my own list, it was one of those, which don't help me, where there's words on the screen, but there's nobody talking, so there's music, there's an image that looks like fast motion of a car driving down the road, and, you know, and I can't send that out to my people, and so I wrote in and I said, look, I know this stuff's going to be good because I know this guy, and I know it's going to be good, but because I trust him. However, I can't send an email that says, you know, wow, check this out, it's just awesome, because I don't even know what it is. Well, not only did they then send me the transcript of the words, and I said, because I'm a blind person, I can't read these words on the screen, and I can't send this to my list the way you want me to, because I don't know what it is, I don't know what the words are. Not only did I get them to send me the transcript, but also I then am now invited, and on Thursday am going to be doing part of his coaching to his clients, paid clients, about overcoming obstacles, and this person happens to be Mark Joyner.
Oh, my goodness. That's
and
amazing.
It is really amazing. And it all came because I said, look, I mean, I know this stuff is good. However, I can't send something like a watch this, it's amazing, when I don't even know what it is. That's just not in my integrity to do that, even if I know the end result will be something good. It's just so funny how just saying that, can you just tell me what this is? I didn't even ask him for the transcript. I just said, kind of give me a sense at least of what's happening in the words on the video, and then it just turned into this other stuff. So you just never know. And when you're really concerned about serving people well, he didn't. Now, Mark's been on our show. He said he didn't even realize I was blind. Now, I thought it came up on the show, but, you know, whatever.
I know
maybe
it
not.
Came up on the show. I know
I know it did. Because I remember mentioning it, you know, but he, for whatever reason, I guess, was into his shtick and just didn't resonate or didn't connect with him. Now he was like, wow, he didn't realize that I was a blind person. And I had said my screen reader, of course, doesn't read embedded text in a video. And so now that's how this all came up. So you just never know. When you're really concerned, first and foremost, with serving, so many things open up to you. And goodness knows what else will come of that. But it's just very intriguing.
It is very intriguing. Great story. Really great story.
Mm-hmm.
And it really illustrates the point very well. So word of mouth marketing is really about serving. I mean, it's very simple. The more you serve, the more word of mouth marketing happens. And what's so nice about that is it doesn't take some stupid, gimmicky, hyped up video or some stupid report that you're telling people they can give away that really doesn't do any good for them. It only does good for you. It happens very naturally as a result of the serving, so long as you have little key elements in place to allow it to happen.
Right.
And, you know,
right.
You and I had a conversation about another example that had to do with a competition, and there were hundreds of people competing for a really great prize, but in order for these people to get others to vote for them, they had to go through a very long, drawn-out process that included opting into the contest host list in order to get the right to vote for somebody. And I really watched that whole contest behind the scenes and saw so many examples that showed me that they really weren't getting results that were as big as they otherwise could have been had they not required people to first opt in to even cast a vote. And it could have really been huge, like millions of people huge, had they not had that one little detail that made people feel not just not served, but really sold to almost even before they knew that there were products to buy, just because people do value their email address, and the exchange of an email address is something that requires an exchange of value. Well, there's no exchange of value.
Right.
In that example.
Nothing whatsoever. No, nothing whatsoever in that example. And even though they haven't sent emails with product offers to that list yet, it's still one of those things where you kind of feel like it's coming.
It's yet. I have already verified that the minute that the contest is over, the emails with product offers are right behind.
Oh, I know that. I'm just saying. That's why I say you know it's coming. Even if it hasn't come yet, you definitely know that it's coming. And, you know, for me it'll be a case of, okay, now that this thing's over, go ahead and get off that list because, you know, now the selling begins. So they're going to lull you into thinking or lull people into thinking, oh, well, they haven't done that yet. They also made the voting very complicated to where I even made a video because there were like five steps to it.
Yeah,
and
if people could have just gone and voted, what would have ended up happening is that all of the contestants would have been out talking about this even more than they otherwise would have. They would have been sending even more people over to vote. And if on that site, not up front to get to cast a vote, but behind the scenes, after the vote was cast, you then took them to another site or another page of the same site, that had a message with something that you could download for free in exchange for the opt-in, now you'd be getting people willingly giving you their email address in much bigger numbers than you would have getting them to give you an email address to get the right to vote. And the relationship would have started out at a higher level because of it, which would eventually lead into much higher conversion, much more sales, and the end result would have been a much bigger list, like to the tune of millions of people instead of a couple thousand to 10,000 people.
Right. Right. Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, just all those things, the better experience and the easier and more pleasant that you can make it for somebody, the better. And I know, like, for example, things like I have a phone number, and you do too, on any sales page or opt-in page. And I've had people where all it was a hang-up, and I think they just wanted to see if there was something other than a mechanized thing behind that. Even though there was a voicemail, it was very clear that I was there, and I'm saying, you know, if you need anything, just let me know. I'll get back to you right away. So all those kinds of things that make it pleasant for people, they're more willing to go and take the next step. I'm thinking that a lot of votes were missed in the competition simply because people dropped the ball somewhere in the steps. Because you almost think when you're registering, you almost think that maybe you voted, but then you have to actually go back. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that didn't do that because they just made it too many steps.
Interesting. Yep, that sure does illustrate the point for sure. Another really good illustration of this is something that has another story attached to it. Someone who's relatively new in my coaching programs. All of my programs are working one-on-one with me, but in a group setting. So as you're working with me, other people are both listening in to learn from it, as well as participating in the discussion and offering their feedback and whatnot on what it is that you're doing. I have someone who's relatively new in the program who's really been hesitant to jump in with both feet to take part in the discussions and to really get the opportunity to work with me one-on-one in a group setting, because he's concerned that if he does that, other people are going to steal his idea. Well, number one, in order to get into my program in the first place, you must first have a signed non-disclosure, non-compete agreement. You can't just come in, plunk down a bunch of money, and get into one of my coaching programs. It doesn't work that way. The only program
right.
you could potentially get into without me first talking to you is the Associates Program. Any of my other coaching
mm-hmm.
programs, the Bachelor's Program, the JV University, even if you came in and reserved a seat, you're still going to get on a phone call with me. I'm still going to get to find out more about you to see if the program really serves you well. And if it doesn't, you're going to get a refund, and I'm going to send you out with your walking papers. And especially if you won't sign the non-disclosure, non-compete, that's going to happen for sure. Well,
right.
most of the students who are in the course are setting up joint ventures with other students because they have things that complement one another so well. This particular student, I know for a fact, because I know what he's doing, there are at least a dozen or more people who have products that could really make for some great joint ventures and strategic alliances that will never
mm-hmm.
happen because of his scarcity mentality in even openly sharing on these calls, because he's worried that somebody's going to steal his plan from him. So even
mm-hmm.
if it's not something that has you out there physically doing something to promote something of yours, like a blog post or like a tweet or something along those lines, even if it's something that's helping you to figure out how to grow this business, word of mouth marketing becomes an important part of it, because not only can it help you to reach a larger prospect base, to grow bigger lists, to grow more leads, but it can also lead you into alliances that will make your life a lot easier because you won't have to work as hard to get the same results. And in fact, with a very small amount of effort, you could get much, much bigger results in the end. So don't just look at the whole concept of viral marketing and word-of-mouth marketing as one that applies when you're looking at how to reach more prospects or how to build bigger lists of leads. Look at the concept of viral marketing or word-of-mouth marketing in everything that you're doing, from joint ventures and strategic alliances to having affiliates who market your products to having free things that serve people well that you give away, that introduce products that you might have to sell, to any number of other things. You always want to be thinking in terms of how can word-of-mouth marketing help get bigger results for this particular piece of my business. You got to start there.
Yep.
We've got about 5 or 6 minutes left before the clock is going to ring with the show, I think. Is that right? Yep.
We just have about 5 minutes left, so.
What else should people be thinking about in terms of viral marketing or word-of-mouth marketing? Is there anything we didn't cover that you can think of?
I just think to kind of highlight the fact that there has to be some very specific message that you're spreading. And one thing Peggy McCall does make a good point of in her book that we haven't really addressed, that she starts off really early on, is talking about branding yourself and getting your uniqueness and all of that. So the notion of, I mean, obviously you need to have some specific message. And the more simple and repeatable it is, the better. Here, and a great example of that is, can they remember the website? I went to this terrific Italian restaurant in my town in Branson that's called Florentina's, and you wouldn't believe their website name. It's florentinasristoranteitaliano.com, and it's not restaurant, it's ristorante. I mean, like,
oh,
what American is
kidding me.
I am not. I mean, first of all, it's like bada 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 bun. You just about get writer's cramp trying to type the name. Then when you go there, they don't even have a real website. It's just like some business listing, so you can't see the menu. You can't see anything else other than I think there's a map to get to it and whatever, but it's not a real website. I'm like, so I went through all of that and just about made my fingers bleed trying to type all that. And now I can't even really see anything about the restaurant, what you offer, or anything, because you just have this really dumb listing. So, I mean, that really speaks to the fact of have something that's repeatable. That's why we use the shortened links. You have asked GGG and I have asked TSL, because when you are going to say something, it makes it easier to deal with, easier to remember. And having a specific message that's easy, like the operator game, think about that. If somebody whispers it in your ear and you go down, will the 10th and the 20th and the 50th person be able to repeat it and remember it? So if it's a link, a product, somewhere to go, a name or whatever, I mean, that's partly why I have the Story Lady as a moniker. I just had to correct the person that put my Amazon listing who misspelled my name. I mean, it's only on the books that she has and all the paperwork, but, you know, misspelled my name. Got it fixed now. But, you know, because it's harder to remember that, but it's easy to remember the Story Lady. So that's part of branding. That's part of keeping things very simple. And that's another aspect to the word of mouth, is make something that they can repeat a story, remember something, and pass it on as easily and freely as possible.
What is the link to Peggy's book?
It's on our show page, but it's called Viral Explosions, and it's over on Amazon. You can click on the cover right on our show page for today's episode.
Fantastic. And, you know, another really short but great story that illustrates the message of spreading your brand is Ben Mack. Ben Mack's a good friend of mine. Ben, way before he became a marketer, back when he was still going to college, he was a magician. And Ben really did a good job of getting the message out there in a way that makes people really understand the brand. What he was doing was he was working at restaurants doing tableside magic. He would go from one table to the next. And magic is all about marketing. So when he would do this, he would be asking people for permission to be able to show them the best magic trick they'd ever seen in the world. And he would get them 3 times to commit to telling him if this was the best magic show or best magic trick they'd ever seen in the world. And three times they'd say, yes, they do that. And when he'd get done with it, he'd again ask, now, was that the best magic trick you ever saw in the world? And they would say, absolutely. Well, he'd then hand them each business card, and for 4 weeks his phone would be ringing with people calling saying, hey, so-and-so told me about your magic trick and the best magic trick in the world that they'd ever seen, and I got to have you come to my party. And this was what helped Ben pay for his college, was the word-of-mouth marketing that came from showing people the best magic trick in the world. Was it the best magic trick in the world? Well, who the heck knows and who the heck cares? It was the message that caused people to remember Ben's brand, that caused his phone to be ringing uncontrollably from people talking about the best magic trick they'd ever seen in the world. And that's really what word-of-mouth marketing is all about. If you can plan that word-of-mouth marketing strategically, your business is going to grow by leaps and bounds quickly, almost effortlessly, especially if it involves your passion. And that's in part why I'm looking forward to putting out the 30-day passion challenge starting at the beginning of June. We're a little bit behind the we were going to get that out in May, but technical glitches. I don't want to put it out till it's perfect or as close to it as possible. So it's going to be probably end of May, beginning of June before the system is finished. But you'll find it at 30dayimchallenge.com, the number 30dayimchallenge.com. When it is ready, it will automatically switch over to the 30-Day Passion Challenge. You can get started right now and get a jump start on things so that by the time the lessons are there for that challenge, you'll be already set up, raring to go, and ready to really use your passion in a way that can grow your business using word-of-mouth marketing. That's what relationship marketing is all about. It's all about word-of-mouth marketing. So everything Rhonda teaches and everything that we teach at DirectionsU.com is all about this same thing. It's just looking at different elements of it. And Rhonda, we'll be back next week on Tuesday at noon Eastern with another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. Who's our guest next week?
We're going to be having, I have to get between two people to see who's going to get it, so I can't even tell you yet.
It'll be a surprise.
I'll have it up as soon as I figure out who's getting what date.
We've had some amazing guests in the recent past, including John Hotran from thepowerpaws.com and Mark Joyner and so many other amazing people. I know we're going to have another great show. So we'll be back next Tuesday at noon Eastern. I will be on the road that day on my way to JV Alert Live in Philly, and I hope all of you can join us at JV Alert Live. If you could ask GGG.com/JV Alert, reserve your seat, and plan on meeting us there that weekend. So thank you so much, Rhonda. It's been my pleasure, as always, being here with you and talking about word-of-mouth marketing today. I look forward to being back here next Tuesday with you again.
Me too. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.